Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply, deeply, deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this beautiful 26th day of May 2018. We're going to talk about getting real. It's one of my little things, my little phrases. Not an original, but certainly one that pertains to the practice, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. I want to thank my sponsors and all of you who listen to Aspire, how you participate with me through your wonderful questions, and I want to thank you for them. Without your questions, this wouldn't be happening, and to add to that, I want to thank my sponsors, each and every one of them, for their donations, their contributions that make all this possible. Without their gifts, their kindness, their love, this would not be happening. It would not. And I want to thank them for their generosity. And I hope that some of you listening to this radio program today will become a sponsor and help us sustain our radio program. Your sponsorship is the only way we are able to maintain and keep our radio program. And if you go to the Aspire website at aspire.org, you will see on the main page support. Now, that's not a four-letter word, but it is an important word because that's how we pay the bills. So if you go and you look at it, a drop-down menu will ensue, I should say, and you can read about why Support Aspire, talks about where your money goes, what we do, and a few of the things that are very important, and all the little goodies you get for being a sponsor of Aspire. And one of the goodies, not only the message of the month, each and every month, but that all-important commentary, podcast, and video cast that I do twice a month, as well as access to all of the discourses I've done over the years for the TV programs. And there are so many there, Passing Through the Fires, A Life Worth Living, Nobody Likes You Anyway, I've Gotcha. There's so many there on the website, The Eightfold Path of Buddha, The Tao, just many, 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 many programs, 122 for you to listen to, and they're all yours for being a sponsor. So I hope you will help us sustain our radio and our TV efforts by being a sponsor. Get real. What does it mean to be authentic? I talk a great deal about that in my commentaries, and it is something that I feel is essential. I don't know if anybody knows when they're being authentic. Most people think they're being authentic when they're letting their emotions fly, and they allow their emotionality to set the tone or the texture for something they want to say or a conversation they want to have. But I look at authentic from the point of view of that which is not just essential, but eternal. And there are eternal aspects to all of us that we ignore or just can't see based on the fact of our relationship with our bodies through genetics and DNA and our emotionality. So that's kind of what this little program's about. The first question comes from Gabe in Texas, and he says, I listen to you often. You seem to talk about authentic. What do you mean by authentic? Is not our perceptions and our perspectives authentic? Gabe, I don't know if everyone's perspective and all of that is authentic. As I said just a few moments ago, I think that people think they're authentic because they have strong emotional ties to something or strong emotional feelings, and then they think that's being authentic. You know, you can authentically think you love someone and at the same time in a few years think you hate them. And if you ever really loved them, you would never do the things that would be hateful or vengeful or prideful. But people do. Is that authentic? What is authentic? Well, going through the mill here and looking at it from the point of view that I am trying to serve you with, most people think what is authentic, authentic is what serves their emotionality, their quote-unquote better interests in staying alive. It has a lot to do with survival. So with all of that said and none of that really done, people go out into the world and they think that being authentic is expressing their opinions, their beliefs, their desires, ambitions, their pride. They think that's being authentic. And, you know, that's probably as far as it'll ever go in a collective way. I don't think it'll probably go any further than that. But when I use the word authentic, I am talking about that which is real. Now, real depends upon a couple of things, and I want you to hear me on this, and maybe this will make some sense to you. There's the real of the world, where you have skin, and you have touch, and you have your five senses, and all of that plays out in how you perceive and gather information and come to conclusions about any given thing. And then there's the reality of what occurs when you go a little deeper into the forest of your inner being and you start to realize that there is more to you than your body and your emotions. And then you can go even deeper and find out that there is an extreme depth in you that knows no end and is kind of the ultimate beauty of your life. And this is a very dangerous thing in people's lives because it forces them to drop their analytical behaviors and thoughts based on emotionality and fear, and they have to go a little deeper, a little further, a little more, shall we say, into the real, the authentic. So very few people go that far, Gabe. I don't know what to say to you. Just very few people go that far. So if you're going to go into this work, if you're going to go into the depths of this work, your real inner work, you're going to find that the authentic is something that is about love. And you will have to drop everything you can and as many things as you can to achieve that love. Love is not a perspective. It is a state of being. Does it shine through my perspectives? I don't think so. Everybody has two kinds of countenance. The first one is their physical countenance, how they look, how they act and react. But then there is that deep inner countenance. And that one is the one that I am referring to. That is the authentic. This countenance that I'm talking about is related to our oneness with all of life, with everything in this world and everything outside this world. It is the depth of consciousness. It is the place of true being. And the human part of us, the human countenance of us, cowers at this. It is very afraid of it. It is afraid of what it will do, what it will say, how it will act, what the reaction will be in the world. Because the human wants me, through intimidation, to stay human. And that is something that most people just won't see, can't see, and refuse to recognize inside themselves. But it is true. So when you start looking at the meaning of your life and sustaining the substance of your living, you have a kind of a problem. The meaning of your life is very different than the way we subsidize our living here on earth by placating probably the worst parts of ourselves. And we do this without knowing we're doing it. We don't really understand what we're doing, but we do it, and there we are. We're doing these things, saying these things, going through these things, and not really understanding what these things are. And it just gets hairier and hairier as we go down into the road of stupidity. When I talk about authentic, I'm talking about that which lives within you that is absolutely the authentic, the real. It is our oneness in love. And that to me is the most important thing to pursue in the course of a lifetime. You can pursue a lot of different things in this world. You can pursue being wealthy. You can be trying to have the people in your life you want to have to shore up your insecurities. There's all sorts of things you and I can do to make our life more comfortable. But the truth of the matter is, the only thing that matters is coming to that place where we find the love, the great love of our life. And that great love is not a person. It is a place that lives deep within. It calls you. And through everything you and I do in the course of our lifetime, whether we are being called to have a mate, or we're being called to have children, or we're having being called to some work, believe it or not, those are interpretations of the authentic. The real authentic that's calling us is love. It is just love. To muck it up with my karma, to muck it up with thinking that it's personal, to muck it up with the idea that I have to, you know, be perfect to be loved and all that other stuff, is a fallacy. And the worst part of it is when I seek vengeance and pride over the state of love. That really mucks things up. So, Gabe, you asked me, what do you mean about finding the authentic? I mean finding the eternal that lives within you. Is this not your perspective? Well, I don't really have a perspective. I can only share with you what has been shared with me within. And I share it with you, take it or leave it, believe it or not, it doesn't matter to me, but it is there for you. And I hope it serves you well. That's all I can do. That's really all I can do. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. The next one comes from Justin in Colorado. He says, how do I know what is real within me? There are so many things that look real. How do I choose, Justin? Looking at what's real, or finding what's real within us all, is not a matter of choice. There are many things within us. Evil lives within us. Selfishness lives within us. Pride lives within us. Anger lives within us. Then there's love. There is the path to love. But not many of us follow that path. So I'm going to be very, very open with you, Justin. Most people choose the lesser paths, and they live by their hormones and their genetic nature and their DNA, and they just want to survive, and they just do what the collective would have them do and live the way the collective would have them live. And that is, if somebody hurts you, you hurt them back harder. If something goes wrong and you're not involved in it, you gossip about it, or you say unkind things. You try to make a people the way you want them to be, and to show the light that you're the savior and everybody else is the enemy. And that's the way people think. Now, you know, that is what's real in human beings. It isn't kind, it isn't loving, it isn't helpful, it doesn't make for a better world, but that's what lives in human beings, and that's what we do. We do all those things I just mentioned, and then we wonder why there's not peace on earth. And we have our little ceremonies at Christmas, you know, about peace on earth, goodwill towards men, but we have no intentions of doing anything about it ever, because our input is from our impulse, and our impulses are from our genetic nature and our DNA, and hence we live in a very miserable way, very miserable, and we cause ourselves a great deal of difficulty in this lifetime. So what can I say to you? How do I say to you, how do you find what's real? Okay, now here it is. What is real is not what Greg, myself, can think. What is real has nothing to do with thinking at all. And when I am willing to give up, Justin, my thinking and my obsession with my thoughts and my pride or my vanity or my disregard or whatever it is you want to call it that is my relationship with my thoughts, when I am willing to give up those thoughts and have no thought. Now, I'm not saying you should clear your mind because you can't. The no thought that I speak of is that gap and that pause between your thoughts. The gap and the space between one thought and another. Should you find that gap, that pause, that space, you will enter into a beautiful world you knew nothing about. But it existed within you as love. It is in that gap where there is no thinking, no beginning of thought, no end of thought, no thought at all, just the gap. You've entered into the way. This summer, we're going to be doing a silent retreat. And we're going to be working on the pause and the gap between one thought and another. Entering into that. And we have meditations that will help us sustain that and tones that will help us sustain that. But the ultimate is to come to that place where there is love. Abiding love. A love that exceeds the idea of right and wrong, of good and bad. A love that is something that caresses the compassion within us. And in that compassion, we begin to let go, Justin, of everything that would keep me thinking in terms of thinking. My thoughts are useless. No matter what they are, they're useless. All they do is show my ignorance and show my dependence on emotionality. They make me ugly. They make me stupid. And the worst part of all of that is that they keep me in the throes of my own karma, which develop over and over and over again as the experiences I have in the repetition of one thing after another, where I miss the entire meaning of what it is to be, well, conscious. To gain consciousness, which is the end all of end alls here, one has to sustain silence within themselves. There must be a state of silence, of mercy within. And you have to sustain it through being very deliberate in your ability to see the meaning of life and the meaning of yourself upon the face of your own life. So instead of wanting to be rich, instead of wanting to have everything the way you want it to be, instead of having everything go your way, instead of all of that, we live in a compassion, in a gentleness, in a way that brings about and sustains not liberty and justice for all, but mercy for everyone and everything. And that is really what it's all about. So to do this, you say, how do I know what is real within me? The real that is within you is found when you and I are not thinking thoughts, when we're not producing them, and when we can enter into the silence, that gap, that pause, that space, and awaken to what's really going on within us and not just imagine that we are. That's where it's all at. Takes practice, dedication, and you have to feel the pull for it. You can't do meditation and enter into an authentic practice with the idea of what you're going to get out of it, because that just won't work. You go into a practice not for a purpose. Well, in the beginning, everybody does. But as they go on into the practice and they get deeper into it, they suddenly realize, I can't be doing this for a reason or a purpose, because once again, that's a thought. You do it because you can. You're drawn to the light, and you don't know why. You're just drawn to the light. I hope that helps you. Thank you, Justin, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. That last question comes from Craig in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was just, isn't that where they do beer? Milwaukee, anyway. When I was growing up, in the old days, it was the Hams commercials, you know, with the bear. God, he was cute. Okay, Craig, here it is. How can I know if other people are being honest with me and authentic? Craig. Well, you can know one thing about people. If they're not formally sitting in a practice, they probably are trying to be honest, but don't know how to be. And if they are, they're usually pretty honest about their honesty. They just will tell it like it is and how they see it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that's the truth. Believe me, it doesn't. But that's what people do. So if you want to know if the truth is the truth from someone, you have to listen to your intuition. And there is a BS meter inside of all of us. And we can tell when that BS meter goes off what is going on. And usually people are trying to protect themselves or prop themselves up in a good light where you will admire them or respect them or like them, whatever. And that's as far as it ever really goes, as far as integrity is concerned. People do what they do. And, you know, it's just the way people are. What can I say? So when you start thinking about the meaning of your life and the meaning of love in your life, that's where the BS meter goes away. Your compassion allows people to lie to you and not hold them accountable, not judge them. Just because they're lying doesn't mean they're not, well, doesn't mean that they even know they're lying. And if they do, it doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means they're insecure. That insecurity can go on and on and on forever. Most people lie to me. My own students lie to me. And they think I don't know. And I'm working with a student or whatever in session work, and they'll tell me all sorts of craziness. And I don't buy it. But I help them with it. I don't sit there and say, you're a lying sack of you know what. I just understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to protect their ego. And when a person is in that modality, they'll say and do about anything that pertains to whatever it is they're trying to protect. And I don't take that personally. So don't worry about people lying to you. How can you know if another person is being honest? You'll know deep inside. And if you do, you listen to it and always, always do the best you can to be compassionate about it. And you can say in very kind words, well, I don't think that's true, and leave it alone there. That's all you have to do. You don't have to argue with them, and you don't have to make a fight out of it. All you have to do is help them understand that you understand. Thank you, Craig, for your beautiful question. I deeply appreciate it. I'm out of here. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for everything you do, all of you, to make Aspire possible with your kindness, your donations. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you'll join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.